This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. The environmental dangers of climate change are well known. Rising temperatures mean higher sea levels, failing crops, and much more. So what does that mean for the economy? A new report says the South will likely be hit harder by the cost of climate change. Researchers at the Climate Impact Lab simulated how trends in global warming will affect the economy in each county across the U.S. Changes in climate will mean bigger energy costs for the South and a higher mortality rate. Joining me now is Billy Pizer. He's a professor at the Sanford School of Public Policy and a faculty fellow at the Nicholas Institute for Environmental Policy Solutions at Duke University. Welcome to the program, Billy.
Thanks.
Tell us more about this report and its findings.
Well, I think the important thing about the report is that this is one of the first times we've seen the consequences of climate change estimated and monetized and added up into kind of aggregate total numbers for individual counties across the United States and for the country as a whole. And it's based on very detailed statistical analyses of those actual impacts. So I think both the geographical detail as well as the kind of the data that was assembled to go into these estimates is really novel in terms of what's been done previously.
Now, you use the word estimate and you use the word actual. This is obviously a dicey, to some degree, and a complicated endeavor. So tell us how you go about making these projections.
Well, sure. So one of the things that these this analysis shows is that mortality consequences tend to be the biggest contributor to the cost of climate change. And what they do to estimate this is, first of all, they figure out how mortality varies with temperature change. And they do very detailed analyses of how many people die on hot days and how many people die on cold days and how many people die on days in between. And that's, you know, based on all sorts of mortality records across counties in the United States. They combine that with projections of how those temperatures are likely to change over the next decades and really next 80 to 100 years. And they figure out, based on how the climate is likely to change and these weather patterns are likely to change, how many increased deaths we're likely to see.
Don't we see, you talked about the high end and the low end, if things get generally warmer, I mean, I don't want to be callous about this, but then aren't we likely to see fewer people die because of cold and perhaps more because of hot, and therefore it's all kinds of, it washes out, it ends up equal?
Well, yeah, and actually if you look at the projections across the country, you see in the northern parts of the country, you see reductions in mortality. When you look at the southern parts of the country, you see increases in mortality. For the United States as a whole, it's still a net cost for exactly the reasons you say, plus the fact that we are a warmer country than average. If you were in Canada, it would probably be the other way around.
All right. So and this gets us to these regional, because you did sort of look at this at a very a microscopic level. You've gone down to the county level. And here in the South, you say the costs are going to be higher. Tell us why. I mean, you've just named one of them, but what else?
Well, I guess the idiosyncrasies of North Carolina are, first of all, yeah, it's on average, it's a warmer state than the rest of the country, than the average in the country. Other features that are different are that we have a pretty significant coastline that gets exposed to storms and hurricanes and things like that. So relative to the rest of the country, we have higher coastal damage. Along with the fact that it's a warmer climate, the impacts on energy usage are actually more significant. That is, you have to spend more on your air conditioning bills in order to keep your house cool. And that's going to outweigh the savings you might get in the winter from maybe not having to heat quite as much.
All right. And what about crop damage as well? There again, the South takes a disproportionate hit, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is related to temperature change and changes in precipitation. It's certainly not as dire in North Carolina as it would be, in parts of the plains and further south. But there is a net loss, of a reduction in crop yields of 10 to 15%. At least that's what the authors of this study predict.
And how far out does this projection go?
The projections look at the end of the century. So they're kind of averaging impacts from 2080 through 2100.
So the critique of these kinds of forecasts is that because this is so dynamic, the economy, the way it interacts with the environment, with climate change, that critics will say you can't really get an accurate look at what's going to happen 90 or 80 or 90 years from now because of the way these things interact and the dynamics of energy and economy. How did you account for that in this report?
Well, again, the authors of the report, you know, are very clear that there's a tremendous amount of uncertainty about the impacts. I think, you know, from a practical perspective, we have to decide now what we're going to do because these consequences are associated with the emissions that we are producing right now. And to do that sort of balancing of consequences and the cost of taking action, we need our best estimate. And that's what the study actually does in a really novel way. Just because we're not certain about how it's going to end up and the fact that there may be, as you mentioned, a dynamicism to the economy, it's going to adjust to all these things that are happening. And indeed, some of those adjustments are actually already included in the kinds of the way these impacts are estimated. But we still have to make our best estimate. So, you know, the fact that there's a tremendous amount of uncertainty doesn't mean we shouldn't be doing our best to balance the consequences when we make decisions right now.
Well, let's talk about that just a little bit further, because, you know, the North Carolina legislature has prohibited localities from taking into account long-term projections about climate change when it comes to land use and development planning. And they cite the uncertainty and say that it's unfair and unwise to use these long-term projections for localities and, in fact, have prohibited the use of scientific data and projections in planning for localities. What do you think about that idea?
Well, I think if you're a locality and you're trying to make a plan for the future, you want your best unbiased estimate of what you think is going to happen. And obviously, you don't want to be overly worried about some things and overly careless about others. You really want the best unbiased estimate you can form. So telling people they have to ignore something to me doesn't allow counties to make the best possible decision because they can't consider all these different possibilities.
When you take a look at the cause, tell us what the overall impact would be, say, in a state like North Carolina in terms of its GDP over that period of time.
Well, again, just to be clear, the study doesn't actually figure the impacts on economic activity. What it does is it figures out the impacts, including things like mortality, puts a value on them, and we could talk about that, and then expresses it in terms of GDP. When you express these impacts in terms of an equivalent change in somebody's income, on average for the state of North Carolina, like the rest of the country, it comes out maybe around 5 or 6% of income towards the end of the century.
Well, talk about that, this impact on mortality. I mean, it's a concept that I think I'd like to ask you to clarify. I mean, simply that many more people are going to die. Which people? Do they tend to be older and younger? And then again, how do you take that, a mortality rate, and calculate that as part of GDP? Tell us how that mortality figure works.
Sure. Well, you know, the numbers that they come up with are that the warming in North Carolina would lead to about 15 deaths per 100,000 people more than what would happen otherwise. And the way you put a value on those additional deaths is actually kind of interesting. What they do is they do studies of people's job choices. And when you take a job, there are a lot of different features about it. Maybe it's in a place you like or it's in an activity you enjoy doing. But one of those features is how risky the job is. And obviously some jobs that are otherwise quite similar can have quite different mortality risks of getting hurt or killed on the job. What they do is they in the data, they can see that the jobs that have higher mortality risks actually have higher wages. And when you work that out, it turns out that you can put a value on the probability of dying that people are willing to pay to avoid that risk. And it turns out to be somewhere around $7 million per life. So that includes not just the wages that are lost when that person is killed, but it actually you know, reflects the value the person puts on not having the risk of dying, which could be lots of other, you know, non-economic, non-market-based impacts.
Is there anything that can be done now that would change this, or is it too late? Is this all based on where we were going to go, even if we started turning things around today?
Well, certainly there's probably a lot of climate change that's already baked into the system, no pun intended there. But certainly everything we do has a consequence, and the choices we have now are going to ameliorate whatever would happen otherwise. So I'm a big fan of you know, not worrying about what's already happened, to look forward and to say, well, based on where we are right now, how much advantage is there to further reductions? And these estimates here suggest there are significant value to further reductions even now and going forward.
Billy Pizer is a professor at the Sanford School of Public Policy, also a faculty fellow at the Nicholas Institute for Environmental Policy Solutions at Duke University. He joined us to talk about a new report about the economic cost of climate change. Billy, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
More about that report at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, we preview a project that documents what happens when two people dive headfirst into the messy and uncomfortable conversations about race. You'll hear it on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.